Blog Talk Radio.
Strive to adopt an attitude of unconditional love for patients themselves and other practitioners. So, as I was reading through this volume, I was struck with its power and the substantive importance of what this principle means for a patient. It also reminded me of the formidable statement of Jesus on love. Let me remind you at this point that in the Greek New Testament, the word that is used for love is agape. And agape means unconditional love. It also means a love that has nothing with regard to self in its content or meaning. It means self-sacrificial love. There are two other words. There is eros, or sexual love. And then there is philos, or brotherly love. Now, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 15. And John chapter 15 records these words for us. I'm going to begin reading at verse 9 of John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If ye my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Divine self-sacrificial love. Divine self-sacrificial love. Verse 14, ye are my friend, my philoi, my philoi. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friend if ye do. Not intellectualize, not argue, but if you do, if you perform whatsoever I command you. Now, please keep in mind the prominence of the word command as we read. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you philoi, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that is appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that is through prayer, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, very poignant word of Jesus were given to the disciples in that upper room on the night before his betrayal. In John 13, verse 1, we read, now before the feast of the Passover, or the Pascha, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the cosmos unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the cosmos, he loved them unto the end, or he loved them to the uttermost. Supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, or Judas of Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, please understand, there's no manuscript evidence for this word son that has been placed in the text. The word is italicized, therefore it tells us that it's not a part of the manuscript. I would like for you also to note that in verse 2, the word diabolu, the OU ending, shows us that this is a possessive genitive. The diabolu, having put into his heart, that is, the heart of Judas Iscariot, to betray Yeshua HaMashiach. The word devil is an adjectival noun. The word devil is one who divides people. And so, this event, this upper room event, is the setting for the great discourse on love. Now notice that after that Jesus shows or demonstrates understand that in the ancient Near Eastern culture in which Jesus lived, there were no chairs as we have today. There was not a table that we have today. There was a table, but it was close to the ground, and those who were gathered about the table to eat reclined around the table. So, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus demonstrates his love. Jesus demonstrated his love for his disciples. Now notice, please, in verse 27 of John 13, and after the stop, Satan entered into him, that is, entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest do quickly. Now, the word changes from diabolos, or diabolos, to satanas, which means opposer. The opposer. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, that is, unto Judas. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that is, the bag of money, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children. The Greek word is technia, young ones. Important to understand that for us to understand that Jesus knew his disciples well. He knew their level of spiritual maturity. The pedagogical event of setting aside his garment and putting a towel about himself, filling a basin with water, then washing the disciples' feet, and then using the towel wherewith he was girded to dry the feet, was a very important teaching event. Now note, this is the evening in which he is going to be betrayed. This is the evening in which which he will be arrested and go through at least 6. These trials would all take place at night, and to have trials take place at night was illegal in Jewish law. But they railroaded him because they wanted to be rid of him. That is, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, or keep on loving one another. Verse 35, by this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, in the Greek text, there is the preposition "and" before the word allelos. And the Greek preposition "in" means within the sphere of, within the sphere of one another, have love in the sphere of one another. That is agape, self-sacrificial love. It is an imperative command. Notice, it is a command. A command or commandment stresses the authority of the one giving the command. A new commandment, or a qualitatively new commandment, I give unto you. And therefore, it is your responsibility to carry out my command. It is an order. You love one another, and in the Greek text, this word love, agape, is what we call a noun of action. A noun of action. As faith, the word faith, pistis, in the Greek New Testament, is a noun of action. Love, or agape, here in verse 34, is a noun of action given in the present imperative. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know, the word "know" here is given in the future middle, and the word "know" here is from the word "gnosko." It means a knowledge gained by experience. Oida is another Greek word for knowledge, but Oida is not used here. It is gnosko, a knowledge gained by experience. By this shall all know that you are, notice the verb "are," my disciples, if you have love one to another. It is interesting that during the time of Jesus, prominent rabbinic schools, that of Rabbi Hillel and Rabbi Shemaiah, had students who were well-versed in the Talmud. And here, no such command is given that the disciples should study the Talmud or know the comments of the Talmud. They had this background, having gone to synagogue. known much of this background, not as a student of the Talmud as such, but one who had heard discourse, those who had heard discourse on the Talmud. And here, disciples of Jesus, they were schooled not so much in the Talmud, but in the Word of God. And their Bible, Jesus, the Bible of Jesus would have been the Septuagint. So they would know, they would hear the Word of God afresh, without the incrustation, without added to the Word of God by the commandments of man. They were to hear the Word of God afresh. They were to do the Word of God. They were to see that the Word of God is based on action. And the one primary action that the disciples of Jesus are commanded, verse 34, to love one another. Again, this word has no emotional content, but it has everything to do with self-sacrifice. Love one another as I have loved you. It is a selfless love. There is nothing akin or close to narcissistic self-interest. There is nothing in this word about building oneself up by tearing others down. Love one another as I have loved you. Love enriches the heart. Love is life's most powerful medicine. You and I have known people who were given to hostility, people who were angry and yet in denial of their anger. People who were resentful. And the word for to resent means literally to rehearse. People who rehearse over and over again. Some situation, some problem, some event, some injustice. That they will not surrender or give up. So therefore, they live in the past. And the past is in the present for them. And so they constantly look at life through a rearview mirror. Therefore, the past is their present. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I think it is significant to mention that the command of Jesus has nothing to do with race, which is a very interesting word, because there's no scientific evidence for the word race. We do, however, know that there are distinctive cultures, but the idea of using such words as transracial, or that Jesus says that I should and I can only love my own race. Oh, really? It is important to understand that Jesus, verse 4, says this is a new commandment, a qualitatively new commandment I give unto you. It is your responsibility that you love one another as I have loved you. love of God which has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. Love is life. Jesus understood that. In this upper room, on the night of his betrayal, he did not focus his attention on himself, knowing that he would undergo the most harrowing experience. He focused upon those who needed him, the little ones, spiritually immature, or his spiritually immature disciples who needed him and who had no capacity to understand that he, on that very night, was to be betrayed, and that he was to undergo 6 or 7 mock trials and then led out to be crucified. He traded his love for his own to his action. His entire life was one of self-sacrifice for those whom he loved. Jesus said that he loved his disciples as the Father had loved him. He was passing on that love that he and that made his heart so wonderfully generous. Those who love are powerfully generous, wonderfully generous. Our Lord Jesus has taught that the most important and the most distinctive gift that we give to others, the most important pedagogical event that we share with others, is the love we have for one another. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.